From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Half of Utahns don't know much of anything about Evan McMullen. In case you're one of them, he's running for president. Listed as unaffiliated with any party, even though he's a Republican, he's Mormon, born in Provo, used to be a CIA agent, and he's becoming an option for some Utah voters. McMullen has said his connection to Utah and to Mormonism maybe helps a bit. That's what he said, maybe helps a bit, but it probably helps a lot. And it doesn't hurt that there seems to be a growing number of Utahns who can't bring themselves to vote for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And what that means, of course, is that fewer votes for Trump could cause the unthinkable for Republicans, that a Democrat could actually win here. And in case you're keeping track, a Democrat hasn't won in the race for president here since 1964. Today in the program, we're talking about the latest in the race for president in Utah. And we invite you to join us after the news.
Support for Radio West comes from thousands of sustainers, listeners just like you who give ongoing monthly donations to help pay for the public radio shows they rely on. Show your love for Radio West by becoming a sustainer, starting at just $5 a month at KUER.org.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. In a normal political year, if you're a Democrat running for president, you don't really spend any money in Utah. And why would you? A Democrat running for president hasn't won in this state since Lyndon Johnson in 1964. Hell, the Texas billionaire Ross Perot got more votes than Bill Clinton in this state. And it's still a long shot that a Democrat, especially one as unpopular as Hillary Clinton, could win here. But in the coming days, Utahns may actually see a Clinton TV ad or two, or a Clinton surrogate may stop by for a rally, because Utah, and I can't actually believe I'm saying this, is kind of in play. And maybe that's not the right word for it. Did I mention this is a very, very long shot? But there does seem to be a growing number of Utah voters who can't bring themselves to vote for Donald Trump, and they may be voting for someone else. A couple of new Utah polls show voters shifting away from Trump, but not necessarily toward Hillary Clinton. They're, many of them anyway, considering an unaffiliated candidate named Evan McMullen. Today in the program, we're talking about the race for president in Utah. And by the way, there's actually a scenario. It's a long shot, but a remote and real possibility that if McMullen himself wins in Utah, he could become president of the United States, which is weird, I know, but it's a weird election year. Joining us first on the program is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. A lot of you have probably heard him on the 538 Elections podcast. He's joining us today by phone from his office in New York City. And Harry Enten, welcome. Thanks for making the time for us.
My pleasure.
So Utah hardly ever figures into the conversation about presidential politics nationally. The state's been reliably red for years, doesn't have many electoral votes. But it's, I guess it's been somewhat interesting to you guys at 538 this year. What do you make, I guess, first of all, of what's going on here in Utah?
I mean, it shows that voters do listen to what the candidates have to say. And, you know, I don't need to tell you that Utah is a state that has a larger percentage of Mormons making up the population than any other state in the union. And we saw in the primary that Mormon voters reacted quite negatively to what Donald Trump was saying. And we're seeing that again in the general election. And to me, it's a great example just of the uniqueness of Trump's candidacy and the effect it's having on the electorate.
What? Give us a sense of what you're seeing in the polls so far. I mean, a lot of attention has been paid to this Y2 analytics poll that showed Clinton and Trump in a tie, and then Evan McMullen not far behind. But there have been a couple of polls since. So what are you seeing that's significant so far, at least lately?
Well, I think, I think the thing that all of the polls have indicated, with the exception of one, although the way that it asked about Evan McMullen was a little different than the other ones, and I wouldn't trust it as much, is that Donald Trump is under 40% in the state of Utah in all of these polls. Now, most of them, he holds a nominal lead, whether that be over Hillary Clinton or Evan McMullen, who is rising. But it seems fairly clear at this point that Trump is going to end up with less than 40% of the vote, which is just shocking, given that just 4 years ago, Mitt Romney, of course, carried the state of Utah with over 70% of the vote.
Yeah. Are you seeing those numbers start to stabilize toward, like, McMullen away from Trump? Can you say that yet?
Well, I think what we can say is that Trump has certainly been falling in the recent polling. You know, he's never been polling particularly strong in Utah, but I think especially with the most recent comments and the sexual assault allegations and the tape, obviously, with Billy Bush on Access Hollywood, I think you clearly see that Trump is losing a lot of the vote. I'm not sure whether or not that's stabilized at all yet, but we have seen multiple polls now where he is at even 30% of the vote or less. It's not just the one poll that you mentioned. There are other polls. There was a Rasmussen poll that came out today, which indicated that Donald Trump was just at 30%, and then Evan McMullen was right behind him at 29%, and then Hillary Clinton at 28%. So we can't say for sure whether it's Evan McMullen or Hillary Clinton that's just behind Donald Trump, but it's fairly clear that Trump is in trouble.
And Johnson, Gary Johnson, seems to be fading in all of this.
Yes, I think that, and I think that is a very important part of it, right? Because it was always going to be the case that Donald Trump was not going to perform particularly well in Utah. The question was whether the opposition could coalesce behind one candidate. Now, we don't know yet whether that would be Evan McMullen or Hillary Clinton, but what it does seem to be the case is that Gary Johnson is fading significantly, which makes the chance of Donald Trump not winning the state go up.
Yeah. What do you make of Evan McMullen, historically, put him in perspective historically, if you can. I mean, he's not really registering much beyond Utah, but you look at the history of all of this. Is there a kind of historical precedent for figures like Evan McMullen?
Well, you know, usually the way third-party candidates are most successful if they win electoral votes is when their support is concentrated within one region or one group.
Yeah.
So if you go back to 1992, for example, in Ross Perot, he did fairly well across the board. Now, he got about 20% of the vote nationally, but in no one region was he particularly strong, so he wasn't actually able to win a state. The last time a third-party or independent candidate won a state was in 1968 with George Wallace, and Wallace's support was very much concentrated in the South.
Yeah.
So the idea that Evan McMullen could win a state, the state of Utah, despite not doing as well nationally, actually fits quite well in the tradition of third-party candidates doing well. In fact, I will mention that the last third-party candidate to win a state outside of the South was in 1924, and that third-party candidate won only one state, the state of Wisconsin.
I wanted to just say something about the scenario your colleague at 530, Benjamin Morris, has written about, where it could be possible, it's a long shot, but possible for McMullen to become president by winning Utah. Can you just say something about that scenario?
Sure. I mean, essentially, where McMullen stands right now is Evan McMullen, maybe with even a further outside shot of winning Utah, is winning the state of Idaho, but those are really the only two states that he can win. So obviously, he's not possibly going to get to 270 electoral votes, which is necessary to win the Electoral College.
Yeah.
However, if neither of the major party candidates reach 270 electoral votes, it means that the election is decided in the House of Representatives. And if the election is decided in the House of Representatives, the House gets to choose between the three top electoral vote getters. Obviously, one would be Hillary Clinton, the other would be Donald Trump. And then if Evan McMullen won in the state of Utah, he would be the third. And they would have to choose between the three of them. And if they did, and say they were deadlocked between Trump and Clinton, maybe McMullen could be the compromise candidate. And given that a lot of people in Washington, a lot of Republicans in Washington don't like Evan McMullen, it wouldn't be that surprising that they would decide to back him over the Republican Party candidate, Donald Trump.
Yeah. I know you like sports for comparison. Benjamin said in his piece that it may be as high as 1-3% chance, about the same as the odds coming back to beat the Giants to advance to the NLCS. So it's possible.
It is possible. This year has been the year of the crazy, right?
Right.
Who would have ever thought a year and a half ago that Donald Trump would be the Republican nominee? So we can't put anything past anything at this point. But I think the thing that needs to be kept in mind is we're probably not going to get to the scenario in which there is less that one candidate doesn't reach a majority of electoral votes. And it's basically a two-step process, right? You got to get to that spot, and then you need McMullen to be the tiebreaker or be the compromise candidate. And that seems like a long shot, but hey, stranger things have happened.
It's true. There's this big question about religiously conservative voters in this country and whether they'll see the moral failings of Donald Trump as a deal breaker. Evangelicals don't seem to see it that way. Why do you figure Mormon voters might be different? Have you thought much about that?
Well, I would say that there are a few things. Number one is the Mormon population in this country, I don't need to tell you, has historically been persecuted. My people, the Jewish people, have historically been persecuted. And I think that there's a real alliance between Jewish voters and Mormon voters in feeling that when there's a certain candidate who is saying stuff that is offensive and potentially bigoted, that they rally to the cause of that particular side. And I think that's really what you're seeing with the Mormon bloc is you're seeing them say, wait a minute, I've heard this type of stuff before, and it's been focused on my people. I'm not going to stand for it. Versus evangelical Christians. I don't really think there's really much of a history in this country of evangelical Christians being really persecuted, especially white evangelicals. So they just see it in a very different way than Mormons do.
Did you, I guess you took note of the fact that after the Donald Trump Hollywood Access tape broke, that it was a lot of Mormon political leaders who were among the first to speak out against him. Jason Chaffetz and John Huntsman Jr. and Utah Governor Gary Herbert. I mean, they seemed to be sort of leading the way.
I think that's exactly right, and I think that that moment could be a turning point, at least in the state of Utah, and whether or not the state of Utah votes for Donald Trump, because I think there was all of the stuff, okay, you know, we might not like Donald Trump, but we're going to get behind him because he's the Republican nominee, and once that came out, it became a real moral question for a lot of these different elected officials, and they just said, I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think you saw it a lot among Mormon voters. I think you've also seen it among women voters for obvious reasons. But to me, there's been a clear impact in the state of Utah and led by the elected officials that you just mentioned.
Should Hillary Clinton spend money here?
I mean, look, Hillary Clinton doesn't need to win the state of Utah to win this election.
Yeah.
She has, at this point, more than enough states on her side to win. But if she wants to break through and potentially truly embarrass Donald Trump, which I think she probably does, then she should spend money. The one thing I would say, of course, is that by spending money, she could lessen the chance that McMullen wins by splitting the Donald Trump, the anti-Donald Trump vote. So there's a real question for her. But she could definitely win the state of Utah. Certainly she has a higher chance than she did just a few weeks ago. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, this is not a state that's make or break for her.
Yeah. Let me ask you this finally, and I won't ask you to speak for your boss, Nate Silver, but I did want to ask you about something that he wrote on the site recently. He wrote that given the kind of the unique particulars of this year's race, which is obviously Donald Trump, that Hillary Clinton has made states like Texas and Utah certainly much more competitive. And even though he mentions she'll probably lose here in Utah and lose in Texas, and this is what he wrote. He said, one can imagine they're becoming swing states by 2024 or 2028. Do you know what he meant by that? He's saying there's a kind of a trend toward the Democrats in some conventionally red states?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at a state, for instance, like Alaska, which has historically been a very Republican state, I believe the last Democrat to carry Alaska was in 1964 with Lyndon Johnson. But if you look at the trend line, you had Barack Obama losing that state by over 20 points in 2008, then lost it by, I think, about 15 percentage points in 2012. And then this year, we've seen very close polling, the same in Texas, although perhaps not as close as in the state of Alaska. There are trends that are going on in those states that have existed for more years than just this particular year. Utah, I'm not sure necessarily fits into that, given that Donald Trump is so unique and the opposition to him from Mormon voters is unique. We haven't really seen the trend among, you know, Mormon voters going anti-Republican in other recent elections. But in other states like Texas and Alaska, maybe a South Carolina, we have seen trends away from the Republican Party.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst at 538.com. Harry, I know you're crazy busy. Really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
We'll take a quick break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, here's one of the questions. Could Hillary Clinton win in this state? A few weeks ago, the question seemed kind of absurd, and it may still be, but for conservative Utah voters who have felt uneasy about Donald Trump as their candidate, but we're still sticking with him for a time, the allegations about his treatment of women may be a deal breaker. And besides, there is another option now for these voters, besides Hillary Clinton, besides sitting it out altogether. A number of new polls now, two at least, show voters considering an independent candidate named Evan McMullen. So we're talking about the race for president in Utah, which is surprising pretty much everyone these days. Quinn Monson is joining us here in the studio. He's a political scientist, founding partner of the research and data firm Y2 Analytics, which recently conducted a poll of Utah voters' opinions. That's one we were talking about a little earlier with Harry Enten. And Quinn, welcome back. Thanks for being with
us. Thanks for having me, Doug.
Matt Canham is back with us, an investigative reporter at the Salt Lake Tribune, specializing in politics. Good to see you again.
Thank you very much.
And Lisa Riley Roach is joining us. She covers politics for the Deseret News and KSL. She's joining us today from the studios of NPR member station KNPR in Las Vegas, where she's on assignment there. And Lisa, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay, so let's begin with the numbers that we're seeing right now. And Quinn Monson, I want to talk to you first about that. When you first saw the numbers, when you first started doing tabulations, were you shocked, stunned, or did that not surprise you?
No, we were surprised and I think excited only because we hadn't seen anything like this in the state yet. We had a sense, which is why we launched the survey, that things could be fluid, in part because Donald Trump has never done very well all summer long. You see public polls and he's doing 20 to 25 points below where he should.
Yeah.
And you get this humorous result where the surveys over the summer that had all of the candidates listed, and then you'd have this response option that wasn't offered in the question, other getting 12% and 14%.
Yeah.
You know, so voters given all of the options would basically say, no, you know, I want someone else. I don't know what to do, right? So we had a sense that it would be a little unusual, but sure, late Tuesday night when we started putting it all together, we realized it was quite extraordinary.
So what you found was Hillary Clinton at 26%, Donald Trump at 26%. Like that's the first time I think anyone – isn't that the first time anyone saw that? That close is a tie?
I remember something over the summer with them statistically tied as well.
Yeah.
But the real surprise there is Evan McMullen also statistically tied in a sort of a three-way tie, if you want to say.
Because he was
that
within
way.
The margin.
Yeah, definitely.
At 22%.
And having him rise up that much is remarkable. And in fact, that's been a consistent – so some of the polls that have come out since – have had a little bit of different result, but all of them have had Evan McMullen showing quite strongly, which I think, even with different methodologies and different ways of doing things, is quite remarkable.
Matt Canham, what do you make of that? Lisa, I'll come to you in just a second here, but your reaction, was this at all surprising that you're seeing I guess it wasn't surprising that it would – well, I don't know. What did you make of the general sense of all that?
We've been looking at polls throughout the year, and what we've had is a four-way or even a five-way contest. It was Trump, Clinton, Gary Johnson, the Libertarian, Evan McMullen, and someone writing in Mitt Romney or someone else.
Right.
What's most amazing about these last four polls is that the other category has now coalesced around Evan McMullen, and that's a real game changer because that means he could actually win. When you split it with all the other categories, it kind of just is a washout. And that's why everyone just assumed that Trump was going to win in this state because all the other ones just kind of – it's a muddle.
Yeah. And but Gary Johnson said embarrassing things and he seemed to
be – Well, and his marijuana position is not popular in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
It really – when I've talked to voters, that really turns them off. And so you have this group that wanted someone other than Donald Trump and now someone's starting to catch fire. And we'll see if that – you know, how that goes forward. I mean, some of these polls, including the Y2 poll, came so close to that damaging tape that I think we could say that could be the start of a tipping point where people move away from Donald Trump, or it could be Donald Trump's nadir and he actually gains back a few points as this thing stretches on. We really don't know yet.
Yeah. Lisa, what do you think? Are we in that sort of unclear phase at this point?
Well, listen, let's remember Utahns have never liked Trump and they've never liked Clinton. The early polling before the caucus vote in March showed that Bernie Sanders was probably the best liked candidate of any in the race, would have beaten Donald Trump as a candidate. Hillary Clinton would have statistically tied, as I recall, Trump back then when Republicans had other choices. I think Harry Enten made a really good point earlier in the show when he talked about the impact of the elected officials in the state walking away from supporting Trump. That's given permission to Utah voters who have been unhappy all along with their choice. And let's remember, majority Republicans, majority conservative. That's given them that permission to take a look elsewhere. And Johnson had some initial interest, but Matt's right. There are a lot of positions he has as a libertarian that just aren't going to fly with a traditional Utah conservative. And Evan McMullen comes out in August as a candidate, and suddenly there's this interest. And what I think is really going to be telling in the coming days is whether or not McMullen starts picking up some endorsements from those same Utah officials that have backed away from Trump. That's what's going to make the difference in this race, I think.
Quinn is just pointing to the Rasmussen poll that we're both looking at here, which came out this morning, right?
Yeah, right before the show.
And the thing I'm underlining is, so this has, the Rasmussen poll has Clinton 28%, Trump at 30%, but McMullen at 29%. Now, does that show you movement?
I think it does, and I think it's evidence of a very fluid race. And part of what's going on here is part of the instability is, again, this set of dissatisfied Republicans not knowing where to go and who to coalesce around, and McMullen offering a shot. And then you have earlier in the week polls showing that he's doing well. I think that can be a signal to others to say, I guess if he's viable, I can choose him and he's going to pick up more steam. Notice that Gary Johnson is down at 5%.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So some of those Johnson voters were sort of with Johnson reluctantly and have since jumped ship, it looks like, over the last few days.
So if you looked at this on a piece of paper, as Lisa mentioned, McMullen gets involved in August. And he comes in at 9% or something like that. But then all of a sudden, I guess we can connect this to the tape. Is that right? I guess the question is, when does he all of a sudden emerge? When does it become apparent that Utah voters, those who were sticking with Trump before, are like, I'm not doing this anymore?
I think it is the tape. There's some evidence on Google Analytics of searches for Evan McMullen shooting up on Saturday, long before we released poll results, long before a lot of the news of Utah elected officials, before the Deseret News editorial and other things. I think all of those things amplified what was already happening on Saturday and made interest in him go up even further over the weekend and into Monday when we went into the field. And that continued with the release of polling results from Y2 and others showing him doing well. I mean, he's just gaining a lot of traction and attention and momentum behind all of this.
I really think what we had before was you had Gary Johnson in the low teens, even before McMullen got in the race. And I think those were the never Trump or legitimate libertarian voters in the state.
Yeah.
And they were the ones who already made their mind they weren't going to vote for Trump. After that video, there was this huge group of people who now decided they didn't want to vote for him or wanted to look for an alternative. And when they looked at those options, and this was after some of the missteps that Johnson had, McMullen was a safer position to go to. And then some of Johnson's people reconsidered when they said, maybe this is someone who's viable. And I think you've had this movement. McMullen's campaign is really shoestring here.
Yeah. I want to come back to that.
But yeah. You get a very fluid race when there are multiple candidates and their viability is in question, so that people are shifting between them, and that's really what's going on here.
Elisa, jump in.
Sure. I noticed that in the Rasmussen poll, the unknowns for McMullen, the respondents who didn't know who he was 19%, and as I recall, Quinn, you had a higher number just days earlier.
About 50%,
So people are coming to know him.
Exactly. And let's remember, too, you know, going back again to your earlier guess, this is a crazy election year?
Yeah.
This is an election year where the national media is suddenly taking an interest in this third-party candidate strongly tied to Utah because people really wonder what will happen on election day. It's not a traditional Republican versus Democrat and the occasional kind of feature story on a third-party candidate. It's legitimately taking a look at the possibility of this scenario where it goes to the House and suddenly someone no one had heard of until a few weeks ago, a few months ago, could become president. So I think that's driving this, too, that this interest level on the national scale.
What do you think?
All the big outlets have been doing stories on this in recent days.
Yeah. What do you think this is telling us about Mormon voters in particular? Because there's always this question about whether Mormon voters win. And Matt, you've written a lot about this. I'm sure, Lisa, you have too. The question of whether or not Mormon voters will choose principle over politics or politics over principle. Is this giving us some sense that Mormon voters are actually choosing principle?
You know, the one thing about Mormon voters we've seen throughout elections is that they can move as a pack, and they can move pretty quickly as a pack. And they are voters where morality matters. When I've talked to people earlier this year about Trump, it was often about his infidelity, his crudeness. That mattered almost more than his positions mattered.
Yeah.
And I think the more we've seen of that, the more that distasteful behavior really – I mean, it's hard for Mormon voters to get around. And I think that's in large part what we're seeing here. Morality matters a lot in Utah elections.
Can you see that in your numbers, Quinn Monson?
Yeah, you can. And I think that's consistent with my experience in talking to people as well. There's been an overwhelming sense of dissatisfaction with both major party nominees. Understandable given the overwhelming, you know, identification with the Republican Party among Mormons that they don't like Hillary Clinton. They never have. It goes back 20-plus years. So that dissatisfaction and then the dissatisfaction with Trump, they just haven't known what to do and been very unhappy with their alternatives all season long.
I think, though, too, it's not principles over politics. I think the fact that you have Governor Gary Herbert, Representative Jason Chaffetz, and others saying, I can't do this, gives them the opportunity to have principles and politics. They can go along with leaders of the Republican Party and at the same time abandon someone whose moral values just are nowhere near their own, nothing that they're comfortable with.
Watching Utah's political leaders anguish over this election has been really fascinating from the start. Gary Herbert refused to talk about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, as often as possible, he would try to just get away and say he was voting for Mike Pence, the Republican vice presidential pick, which – you know,
it's not an option, really.
It's a nice talking point, but that's not really how it works.
Yeah.
Mike Lee, Mia Love, senator and representative here, refused to endorse Donald Trump or say that they were going to vote for him. They now said that they are not going to vote for him.
Right.
So this is – they have had problems just like the electorate has had problems in Utah from the very beginning.
This has been a problem, though, for down-ballot candidates – trying to – finding Donald Trump distasteful but worrying how the electorate may respond to them, you know, ditching Donald Trump.
So the polls
exactly.
here are interesting. The polls here are very interesting in the sense that Rasmussen, I think your poll as well, Quinn, showed that there's a split about among Utah Republicans whether they are okay with the elected leaders voting for someone else or going in another direction. And yet in these polls that have come out – you know, Gary Herbert still has 60% of the vote. Mike Lee still has 60% of the vote. They are not equating Donald Trump with Utah's Republicans.
So it's safe to do it.
Well, it hasn't caused any damage
yet. The danger, if there is one, the danger is for a Republican is to alienate the dwindling number of staunch Donald Trump supporters. But that's a smaller and smaller number. Yeah. That group is diminishing every day.
Lisa,
well, there's also an issue with turnout. I've talked to some of the Republican campaigns, and they feel very confident they'll do very well if voters turn out. And the issue of having someone at the top of the ballot that is so distasteful makes them so uncomfortable with their party nationally at this point is a real problem for Republican candidates. Because at the same time, you've got the Democrats – newly energized by these numbers. No, Clinton may not win Utah, But she's a real contender at this point, and that's got Democrats excited, and excitement translates into turnout. That's always key in these kinds of races, especially in a state where people just assume Republicans will always win.
Yeah.
So having this alternative candidate for conservatives is really key for Republicans at this point. They've got to have something motivating people to go and vote, because they already feel confident their Republican candidate is likely to win. They don't want to vote for the Republican presidential nominee. So what do? Well, you've got to motivate them to go. Get them to the polls with an Evan McMullen, conservative alternative, and let them vote down ticket for those Republican candidates.
So Quinn Monson, what do you expect in the way of turnout? Is it too early to say? Can you speculate?
I would have said 2 or 3 weeks ago that it would be lower than normal for a presidential election in Utah because of this discouragement. But I think Lisa's exactly right that Evan McMullen is kind of a godsend for down ballot Republicans, and that he's given these Republican voters a reason to turn in a ballot and have some hope for the election, and that's probably, in my mind, going to drive up turnout to levels that are somewhere between 2008 and 2012. I mean, there's no Mormon front runner, major party nominee on the ballot this time around. It's but having Evan McMullen brings us up out of the doldrums on turnout, I think, to a respectable level.
So I went to a town hall that Evan McMullen had in Syracuse.
I wanted to ask you about this.
And I went there to talk to the voters more than to hear what Evan McMullen had to say, because I've seen him speak before. And it was interesting beforehand. I talked to about a dozen of them beforehand. And over again, I had people say, I was not going to vote. For the first time in my life, I was not going to cast a ballot. And now I have a place to go. And some of them have just stopped following politics until they saw Evan McMullen come up on their Facebook page, or were just stressed about it. There was such a sense of relief talking to these voters that I have never seen in politics here. It was just – they just wanted to feel good about who they were voting for, with the full knowledge that it is highly, highly unlikely that Evan McMullen is going to be president. They just wanted to feel good about who they were voting for.
But on an election night where it's becoming increasingly likely that we're going to have President-elect Hillary Clinton, you're going to have a bunch of Utah – Republicans that are going to be pretty happy about sticking a finger in the eye of the National Republican Party and going a different direction.
The other part that's actually from that town hall that I found really interesting is some of these Republican voters were no longer considering themselves Republican.
Yeah.
That they were so turned off by Donald Trump that they were separating themselves from the party that they have voted for their entire adult lives. Now, I don't know. I assume that the next time an election comes around and there's a candidate they feel a little bit better about, they'll come back home. But the Republican Party is going to have to work to get them to come back home.
But don't Utah voters always think of themselves as independents and yet still vote for Republicans? They don't necessarily connect themselves to a party, and even though they tend to vote for one party?
Oh, you see about 45% registered Republicans on the voter file.
Where's that in terms of the rest of the country?
I don't know. It's like a 4-to-1 advantage, Republican to Democrat, or nearly 4-to-1. But it's about 60-65% that self-ID as Republican when you put strong Republicans, not so strong, and then independents who lean Republican, who for all intents and purposes behave as if they're Republicans.
Yeah.
What you're going to see is those not so strong Republicans are the ones that are going to say they're independent, but they're still going to lean Republican and as Matt says, behave the same. And if the Republican Party, stops nominating people like Donald Trump, they'll come back.
It's interesting, Matt. I wanted to ask you about something you'd said, because Harry Enten was talking about some of the reasons why Donald Trump may be unattractive for Mormon voters in particular as a bloc. And one of them was this idea that Mormons have this sort of acute sense of persecution, and they sense that character, some sort of persecution complex in Donald Trump. But I'm not sure what you want to say about that. But you've also talked about the fact that doom and gloom that they're hearing, all this pessimism from Donald Trump, is also one of those things that may not be terribly appealing for Utah voters. Did you want to say something
about
that?
To start with that, one of Donald Trump's main messages is he's going to save us from rising crime. And if you live in the state of Utah, you're not looking around saying that you have a major crime problem. He also says our economy is horrible. And if you live in Utah, you're looking around saying, you know, it's not the greatest it's ever been ever, but it's not that bad. Immigration here is not a scare. You know, it's not something that scares voters into voting. There's a core group where immigration is a huge issue. But for the average Utah voter, they're not going to go to the polls to vote on immigration. And so his main message doesn't resonate here to begin with. And then, as you pointed out, voters in Utah, those who are concerned about him, consider him to be a bully. And then they're worried about his statements about people who are different from him. And I think that there is some acute awareness in Utah from Mormons, particularly when it comes to religion and his comments about Muslims, that is completely alienating.
I see people that are left supporting him at this point having to make excuses, prefacing everything that they say with, well, he may be this and this and this, but, you know, and they have to, and anytime you have to do that, you're in a difficult position.
Yeah. Lisa, go ahead.
To Matt's point on the Muslim ban that Trump proposed a while back, that goes to that issue of persecution that I think your guest was talking about. Senator Mike Lee was quite upset about the stand that Trump took, banning all Muslims from entering the country at one point, because it's so reminiscent of how Mormons were treated in the early days in this country, you know, judged on their faith, banned from places based on their faith. That's not a value that Utahns it's abhorrent to the Utah Mormon faith in general. And so for someone like Trump to be talking about that, I think that's where that persecution issue comes from. It's too much like how Mormons were treated in this country, and in turn they don't want to see anyone else treated the same.
It's Lisa Riley Roach, covers politics for the Deseret News and KSL. Matt Canham is investigative reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune, specializing in politics. Quinn Monson with us, political scientist, founding partner of the research and polling firm Y2 Analytics. When we get back from a break, I want to talk about Evan McMullen, what we know about him, why he might be appealing to Utah voters. It's kind of obvious in some ways, maybe not in others. Let's take a break first and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we are talking about how the race for president in Utah is changing, surprising pretty much everyone, as we've said. Quinn Monson's with us, political scientist, founding partner of the research and polling firm Y2 Analytics, which recently conducted a poll of Utah voters that came out on the 11th that really shocked everybody, showed Clinton and Trump in a tie, really Evan McMullen in a statistical tie there, too. He's joining us to talk about that. Matt Canham with the Salt Lake Tribune with us. Lisa Riley Roach of the Deseret News also with us. So what do we know about Evan McMullen? Maybe we could – Matt, I know you went to that town hall meeting in Syracuse. What do you know about McMullen? He's kind of boilerplate conservative?
Yeah, he's a Republican. Yeah. I mean, what we know is he's 40 years old, single, Mormon. He was born in Provo but raised in Washington State. He went to Brigham Young University, where he studied foreign politics before he went to the Wharton School of Business. I like to say he says he spent 11 years in the CIA because it's kind of a hard one to fact check.
Because he was undercover, I guess, right?
He says that he worked in the Middle East and North Africa and Southeast Asia as an operative for the CIA for 11 years.
I like to add that people say he hasn't been vetted, but he has been vetted by the CIA, which
apparently
is something, right?
Right. No, he went to Goldman Sachs in San Francisco for a few years before making his way to Washington, D.C., where he worked for the House Committee on Foreign Policy, as well as the House Republican Caucus. I don't know if I have the right terminology there, but he was a policy expert for House Republicans before he decided to jump into this race.
It is interesting that his experience is something that can't be vetted.
Because he'd have to kill
you. Exactly. Yeah, I've asked him this question a number of times. You're asking voters to elect you based on experience that you can never talk about in any kind of detail to really explain. I mean, I've sat in a room in our editorial board meeting where he's talked foreign policy, and he obviously is very knowledgeable and has a lot of on-the-ground experience with a lot of key issues. But when you try to drill down, well, how do you know this? What exactly was your role in stabilizing this region of the world, for example? He just can't tell you. And it's not the first time we've had someone with CIA experience running for president, but that's the bulk of his experience, right? So it is going to be interesting as this campaign moves on to see how voters react to not really getting past that that line on the resume.
Yeah. He's a free trader, right?
Yep. He's open for immigration reform with at least a path to legalization, if not a path to citizenship.
That puts him kind of moderate, right?
He wants to accept more refugees from Syria, which, you know, is
that's the Mormon spin, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and so I think you have some of those issues. He wants to simplify the tax code to have three rates and do your taxes on the back of a postcard, which is a longtime Republican talking point. Yeah. One idea he brought up in the town hall I haven't heard Republicans talk about before, and this was to fight poverty.
Wow.
What he wanted to do was have certain states try a wage adjustment where the government would add an amount to your per dollar income. So if you worked more, you made more money for low-income residents.
Your per-hour income, yeah.
Yeah. So let's say your company paid you $7. The government would add an extra $2. I have not heard Republicans talk about something like that before. And that was the one issue he brought up that I thought was kind of outside of what would be, within the parameters of normal Republican orthodoxy.
Well, way back when we were actually talking about issues in this presidential race, and that has been some time ago.
Yeah, it has.
House Speaker Paul Ryan rolled out a big anti-poverty initiative, and I don't recall that it went anywhere near what McMullen is now talking about. But Republicans have been looking at that. Remember, the party was in disarray before Donald Trump in terms of having to rebuild its base, get out and attract these voters that have fallen away, women, minorities, lower income voters. And poverty was seen as a way to try and advance that agenda. So I'm not surprised to hear him talk about poverty, but it's going to be interesting to see how much traction he can get on anything between now and election day in terms of developing anything as a real issue for his campaign, other than he's a Mormon who's popular in Utah.
He's a Mormon who's not experience. Donald Trump. Yeah.
But the other thing that I think is actually going to work for him in Utah and maybe some states like Idaho is he talks about the Constitution.
Yeah.
He talks about those founding documents. Republicans love talking about those documents and what they mean to your principles of governing. You don't hear Donald Trump talk about that in any way.
So I would say that he may be outside of Republican and conservative orthodoxy on a couple of issues like poverty and other things, but well within the boundaries in most cases on other issues. He is completely within the Mormon orthodoxy boundaries, and that's where the different and sort of subtle differences on things like immigration and refugees and the Constitution and other things. He's speaking to Mormons and speaking to them in a language that they would understand, that is part of him, is part of how he was raised in his culture. He uses the words that you would find in Mormon scripture in Mormon newsroom releases and things like that. And I don't know if that's calculated and deliberate or just part of who he is, but I watched him online on a Facebook event in Logan, I think a few days before Syracuse, and my wife was sitting there with me watching, and she referred to him as adorably sincere, which is how it kind of comes across. He's very knowledgeable. He has a lot of policy chops. He knows what he's talking about, and there's this sort of level of innocence and sincerity to him that makes him, I think, appealing to these Mormons that have sort of been looking for somebody to vote for.
I want to come back to this question, what all of this reveals about the sort of Mormons as a voting bloc. And Lisa, I want to get you on this question because your newspaper, which never weighs in on an editorial, at least the editorial page on candidates, said, in our opinion, Donald Trump should resign his candidacy, which was pretty shocking and pretty unprecedented. I wanted to get your sense of what kind of influence you think that has had in the scheme of things. Like this tape became then, and the allegations about sexual misconduct became a deal breaker, if not for the Latter-day Saint, the faith itself, certainly a newspaper owned by the – what do you make of that and the impact of that?
Opinion. Well, it certainly did get a lot of attention. My newspaper does not endorse candidates and did not in this case, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
It simply advised readers that they were suggesting they not vote for Trump based on all of the issues that we've talked about. I think that does have an impact, just as everything else has in terms of the reaction to Trump's words on that tape that was released and all of the accusations that have come out since, all of the discussion that has come out since, his own reaction to all of that since. I think, again, it goes back to this idea of voters here never being comfortable with Trump and always looking for an alternative, but also hearing from some of their elected leaders for some time that, look, you need to just vote Republican. We need to make sure that conservatives control the Supreme Court. Right now, it's a 4-4 court. There's an effort to wait until a new president is in place to replace a justice. There may well be a number of justices retiring or otherwise leaving in the coming years, coming term or terms of the next president. And that's a real concern for a lot of Republicans, including Senator Orrin Hatch, who's had a big role in appointing justices over the years. So they're hearing that on one hand, and then on the other hand, they've started hearing, no, it's not something that some people can accept.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to that idea of permission that I can live up to my principles, but I can also, you know, live up to politics here. Here are political leaders doing these things, for example.
Quinn, one of your colleagues at Y2 Analytics, Scott Writing, said was quoted in the paper saying Republicans are kind of in an internal civil war here in the state. I just wanted to get your sense of that. It doesn't make any strategic sense if you're a Republican to vote for Evan McMullen.
It could, though. I think, again, that was probably true 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So if you think about strategic voting, the rationale behind strategic voting is to prevent your least preferred alternative from winning. So if you can assume that for most Republicans, Hillary Clinton is the least preferred alternative, the question becomes who's the best choice to defeat her? And often strategic voting means you're voting for someone who you would not prefer, but they're better than your least preferred alternative. That's in some ways the definition of Donald Trump and then some. But along comes Evan McMullen. Now he appears to be viable. It's possible that in the coming week or so we'll see more polling that will have Donald Trump in third place. Or like this Rasmussen poll, they're all three are tied.
Yeah.
It's hard to make the argument that Evan McMullen is not viable, at least in the state of Utah. And therefore, this tendency where third-party voters – flee their chosen candidate and go back to the major parties as the election approaches will probably or could apply to Donald Trump voters as much as it applies to Evan McMullen voters.
So people will say, don't throw your vote away and vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
You could imagine making that argument if Evan McMullen takes up a few more points and is now in the low 30s and Donald Trump is in the high 20s. Well, now the Trump voters, Republican Trump voters who have reluctantly gotten on board with him need to reconsider, right? That's the calculus that is happening. And it's all the more important because ballots are out,
yeah.
Right? They've been mailed and are being turned in.
There's a good question that comes from one of our listeners, Dan, who wonders what are the chances that Democrats could find him and McMullen appealing? Will he drain votes from Clinton?
I think that's extremely unlikely. Yeah. He's very very different from
block,
her. Yeah, her
right?
block hasn't moved much all summer long. As soon as the Bernie Sanders people kind of came on board, that was that.
I wondered, Matt. One of the things we talked about off air is that you've got still some hardline Republicans are still very much in the Trump camp in this state. I guess
right.
we should make note of that.
Well, that would be someone like Senator Orrin Hatch, Representative Rob Bishop, House Speaker Greg Hughes,
yeah.
Attorney General Sean Reyes, Representative Chris Stewart even said he wanted Trump to get out of the race. But he did not say he wouldn't vote for Trump. And in repeated follow-up attempts, he has not said he won't vote for Trump. So I think there are still these people who say there are two candidates who have a chance to be president, and I want the more conservative of the two. I think that's why the poll hasn't moved even more, is that there's still a group that says, yes, I don't like the person. I find him distasteful. I don't agree with every policy position. He is not Hillary Clinton, so he gets my vote.
The problem for Republicans is if they can't coalesce around a Hillary Clinton alternative, she could win Utah, right?
Yeah.
And that's a very real possibility, but only if they can't get it together and coordinate behind somebody. And that's the problem where we're already turning in ballots. It could be too late at this point to coordinate.
Where does McMullen live?
McMullen lives in the D.C. area.
D.C. area. So what are his prospects? Let's say that – I mean, it's a long shot that he's going to become president of the United States, although it's conceivable. We talked to Harry Anton earlier about that. Is he eyeing a future here?
At our editorial board meeting, that was one of the questions we had. You know, what is your future? And he wants to lead a conservative movement going forward, and that may or may not include the Republican Party. And it seems as good an idea as any, given that Republicans had so much trouble in 2012, for example, tried to regroup, tried to set up a system that was going to get a good candidate, a strong candidate, and move forward on some of these ideas that they felt would be more popular with a broader base of voters. And look what we ended up with.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe someone fresh, new, with ideas and with some following, which he'll certainly have from Utah and probably some other states after this election, you know, maybe he can re-energize the conservative movement. And again, whether or not that includes the Republican Party remains to be seen.
Final quick thought.
I just find that fascinating. This is a person who came out of obscurity to run for president in August and decides that he is going to be the alternative to Donald Trump and he is going to be the man who can revitalize the conservative movement. That takes guts that I do not personally have. I find that to be just stunning.
Well, he was a CIA operative.
That's right.
Well,
yes,
we don't. And we'll see. Maybe it's McMullen for Congress in 2018 or something if there's an open seat.
Well, you said he's only got room. He's got plenty of room to grow.
Yeah. Yes.
Quinn Monson, political scientist, founding partner of the research and polling firm Y2 Analytics. Matt Cannon with the Salt Lake Tribune. Lisa Riley Roach of the Deseret News and KSL. Thanks, guys, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Radio West, a production of KUER News, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.